Good afternoon, everyone. It is so wonderful to see you all today, and it is so wonderful to be able to worship our God together in this church building. And also, if you are listening to this lesson online, we really appreciate it, and thank you so much for listening to this lesson online. And we definitely miss you, and but we completely understand the situation is so difficult right now, and we understand that it is very difficult for some of you to take public transportation and come to the church building. So we completely understand, but we definitely miss you all. Today is the third Sunday of the month, and every third Sunday, we take a look at 1 John, little by little. So our passage today is 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Before looking at today's particular passage, let's review the background of 1 John quickly. Why was the letter written? What was going on when the letter was written? Usually it is said that 1 John was written in the late 1st century AD. By that time, churches were established in many places, not only in today's Israel, but also in the surrounding areas such as Asia Minor and even in Europe as well. It is great that more and more churches were established, but at the same time, churches were also facing many problems. One of the problems was the false teachings that distorted the original gospel. Many of them were known as Gnosticism, and the teachings of Gnosticism generally rejected the Christian belief in the incarnation. In other words, those who supported Gnosticism basically said it is impossible that the Son of God took human body and suffered on the cross. Obviously, that kind of idea is extremely problematic because God's love is most significantly revealed in the fact that God took human flesh and died on the cross for our salvation. Therefore, the rejection of the belief in the incarnation means the rejection of God's love. So, John, one of the 12 apostles, wrote a letter to Christians and called them to remain in Christ and in his love. Now, keeping in mind the background of 1 John, let's take a look at verse 1 of today's passage. It says, "Do not believe every spirit." And verse 2 says, "Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." And verse 3, "Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." John basically says there are different kinds of spirits, so we have to be careful. There are spirits that we should not believe. That's what John is basically saying. By the way, the word that is translated as spirit in today's passage may need a little explanation, especially when it comes to the spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus. What is the spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus? What does John mean by spirit in this case? I believe that when John says the spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus, he is talking about the attitude that is not willing to accept Jesus as the Son of God, which was promoted by false teachings and or false beliefs at that time. The spirit in today's passage in the original Greek is pneuma. Interestingly, pneuma has several meanings. First, it refers to the Holy Spirit. But not only the Holy Spirit, pneuma could also refer to the attitude of a person, the attitude of a man or woman. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21, Paul writes, "Shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit?" Here, Paul uses the word pneuma, but in this case, he is not talking about the Holy Spirit, but the attitude of Paul. Now, going back to verse 3 of today's passage, it says, "Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus." Like I said, pneuma, spirit, could mean the attitude of a person. And here, I believe John is talking about the attitude that is not willing to accept Jesus as the Son of God. In the late 1st century, many new churches were established, which was great. However, at the same time, there were those who questioned the divinity of Jesus and denied the Christian faith in Jesus. Thus, John wrote the letter and reminded Christians of the very important part of Christian beliefs. That is, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and John calls them to remain in Jesus and in God's love revealed through Jesus. Out of today's passage, I would like to focus especially on verse 4 today. Verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Christians in the late first century were troubled by the false teachings, largely based on Gnosticism. And in response to that, John wrote the letter calling Christians in the first century to remain in Jesus and his love. Although we live in the 21st century, John's message still speaks to us powerfully. Although we may not have the same problems that Christians in the first century had, yet we too are often tempted to develop an attitude that could damage our relationship with Jesus. Sometimes in our hearts, we are tempted to develop an attitude that denies or rejects our faith in Jesus Christ. For example, when everything is going great, we are tempted to think less about God. Perhaps we might even think as if we don't need God at all. The first part of the parable of prodigal son was like that. The son thought that he didn't need his father any longer because he thought he could do anything with his financial assets. I don't think being financially rich is a bad thing at all. And in fact, money often, not always though, money often makes our life easier or more comfortable. However, our earthly assets, including financial fortune, are fragile and cannot provide us the feeling of real security in a spiritual sense. Moreover, it is impossible for many of us, actually any of us, it is impossible for any of us to bring our earthly assets with us when we finish our lives in this world. Our social positions and reputations are similar. I would say it is good to have socially high positions and good reputations, but the way people think or value could change dramatically. For example, I'm not sure if this is the best example, but for example, in like 1960s or 70s, large cars, large automobiles are very, very popular, and the people valued large cars, not small cars. But today, large cars are not really popular. I mean, some of the large cars are popular, but not, generally speaking, a compact car or economical cars are more popular than large cars. So car makers, they don't produce large cars, many large cars any longer. So my point is, the way people value things changes dramatically. However, God, whose words are forever true, says in Isaiah 43:4, "You are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you." God declares so. God, who created heaven and earth, and who is in control of everything, declares so. And because we Christians know that, because we Christians know that we are loved by God, we can move forward even when we are put into a difficult situation. When everything is going well for us, we might be tempted to think as if we don't need God, but that is an illusion. That kind of idea is illusion, and we need God, who loves us and sustains us, no matter what our situations are. We may be tempted to have a negative attitude toward God, not only when everything is going well, but also when we make a mistake spiritually. When we do something that we shouldn't do as a Christian, we are often disappointed by ourselves, and you might think, "I don't deserve to be called a Christian any longer," giving up the relationship with God. But God fully knows we are not perfect and we fail. And because God knows that, and because He still loves us, He sacrificed His only Son as the perfect sacrifice for our salvation. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Because our sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ, we can move on even when we make a mistake. Once again, we need God, who loves us and supports us. When John wrote his letter, many Christians were troubled by the false teachings that promoted very negative attitude toward Jesus Christ. The false teacher rejected the Christian faith in Jesus Christ. Today, we too are sometimes tempted to give up our faith in Jesus. but the message of John for all of us is that God, who is greater than anything, is in us. So don't be afraid. The second half part of verse 4 of today's passage says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you is God, but more specifically, the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. That is, false teachings that promote negative attitude toward Jesus Christ. We may not be very strong, but that is okay, because the one who is in us is greater than anything. Meanwhile, it is encouraging that John writes, God, that is the Holy Spirit, is in us. He does not say God is beside us. I think what John says is powerful, because God is not just watching us and help us. Although it is great that God is watching us and God helps us, that is great. But in today's verse passage, what John tells us is even more wonderful, because he says God is in us. By dwelling in us, God experiences our joys and sorrows with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We can share our joys and sorrows with our fellow Christians, but more than that, God is willing to experience what we experience with us by dwelling in us. God himself practices this. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. One more last thing I would like to add before finishing today's lesson is that because God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us, he transforms us and makes us grow spiritually by renewing our inner self. In fact, Jesus has said, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. In John 7:38. Here, what Jesus meant by water was the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and fills us spiritually and as spirit. So, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and fills us spiritually as if rivers flow and make the land fruitful. So, the Holy Spirit is in us by dwelling in us. God walks with us and helps us to grow spiritually. And that is a great privilege and blessing to us, Christians. Sometimes we have to go through a difficult moment. We are put in a challenging situation unexpectedly, probably like now. Then we might be tempted to abandon our Christian faith. And when everything is going well, we are tempted to be arrogant, thinking less about God. But today, let us remember the blessings we have been given from God, and let us continue to remain in Jesus Christ and in His love. We are loved by God, and He is in us, and He is greater than anything. He has purified us, cleansing all the sins that we committed. Why don't we let God take care of ourselves and let Him renew ourselves day by day? Thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful week, and may God bless you.